Painting and sculpture are ancient forms of communication. For me, it's the only thing left to do in our high-tech digital society where an individual alone can still make something with not just his own hands, but his brains, imagination, and, if he's lucky, his heart. Those are the words of my next guest, painter Steve Hastings. Welcome, Steve. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I first saw your work at the exhibition that you had a few months back at the International Museum of Art on Montana. It just leaps off the wall. It's huge and bold and beautifully colorful, and it's lovely work. But you are even more interesting than the images you create.
Thank you.
Before I run away with it, you have another show coming up. It opens Thursday, November 3rd at the Art Avenue Gallery. That's 1618 Texas Avenue. And I'll mention that information again at the end of the interview. But how about the life story? You were born in Germany. Take it from there.
Well, my dad, after the war, got stationed over there. And what was interesting was, at that time, Americans weren't really welcome in Germany. So there was a lot of paranoia, and my mother had lost her third pregnancy, so I was the fourth, and that my dad was real nervous about me, making it. When I showed up, I think I had jaundice or whatever, but anyway, I was a big thing to them, and so from...
Well, you think? A son?
Yeah, I think because they didn't believe it would ever happen. A lot like my daughter was for me. From day one, I was inundated with, you're going to be a great artist. And,
oh, really?
You know, yeah, I got the heavy dose of mom. I think maybe I was her little project.
But interesting that they would, your father also was supportive of this idea of you being an artist. Not every set of parents is going to think that's a great idea for a kid.
They're the only ones I ever met that did encourage me. Yeah, mm-hmm. My ex-father-in-law was really discouraging, but once they discovered that I could draw, and I discovered it,
fortunately,
they started telling me these things, and I just took it for granted that I was destined, to be a great artist.
Well, I'll tell you,
which is a good way to start.
Yes, and that
a little delusion goes a long way.
Well, you say delusion, I say I've always thought certainty about anything is a great luxury. But I do find that in a lot of really well-formed whole artists who know that that's what they're meant to do, that's part of their success, that sense of certainty. So what happened between Germany then, 1953, and then 1978? You graduated from UTEP with your BFA in painting and printmaking. What transpired in between those few years?
Well, from there, I immediately, that summer, moved to New York and lived with my cousins on the Upper East Side. They had a little railroad apartment. It was all, real ghetto.
This was after you graduated from UTEP. Then you moved off to New York.
And I moved to New York.
Okay.
And I went, that's where I learned advertising and how to invert the message. So guys like Donald Trump and I, we understand each other. We know how to. What I do is I take those untruths and flip them inside out so you can see the ugly in my art.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of people get that, but that's where I got that inspiration in New York.
Well, this actually brings me to a question. I'll get away from the chronology of your work, but you haven't, in your artist statement, you speak of beauty is not a thing, but the beautiful is a thing. And that that turning inside out thing is, to me, reminiscent of that sentence. Can you elucidate that?
Sure. I think beauty is something that we discover when we see it in nature and we immediately are attracted to it. It can be anything. It can be a person, a bird, a stone. I mean, it depends on how well you see. So that power is what makes me creative and what I think as a child made me want to make images of the beautiful things I saw. At least that's where I started.
So basically, beautiful things are the tangibles that can...
Right.
That cause us to perceive beauty as a non-tangible.
I would say, you know, as a child, you're not even aware of the difference between you and the world. It just seems like everything is together.
Mm, yes.
So beauty is everything to me, 'cause when I was primitive. Now, as I got older and tried to play the game and get shows and I'll be a businessman, I sort of lost touch with that and became more and more isolated and fearful and paranoid of things not going right. You know, I kind of lost my way.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the... It's such an odd trial to seemingly opposite forces. The way you have to be and think and feel to be successful at the business angle of it just seems to suck the oxygen right out of the creative self. And you, it's like, what am I going to have to market if I continue? But it's quite a dilemma. Well, so you were in New York for 10 years.
Yes.
And then what happened?
My daughter was born in 92, and my wife and her family wanted her back in El Paso, where she is from.
Mm-hmm.
So she talked me into coming back to El Paso, saying that, you know, we may go back to New York, but I kind of knew it wasn't going to happen. And the marriage was... It was on rocky ground, so it was a good thing to come back and kind of regroup.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got back, I went into a deep depression because my ego couldn't take the knowledge that I was no longer in the center of the universe.
And New York City is it.
Well, at least that's how you feel.
Well, yes. I mean, it's perceived that way. It's understandable.
It opened my eyes to what is possible, and I still love to go there and feel like it's my real home. But now El Paso is my home, and the reason I love the change and where I went from being depressed to where I am now is, first of all, exercising, eating right, going to bed, you know, doing things that are healthy.
Those darn basics that you just can't get rid of.
instead of trying to drown my fear and anxiety with alcohol and drugs. But I think the big change is then when I was in New York, when I came back here, I could only see through my eyes. I couldn't see really what was important. Now I see things through my heart. So it's a totally different, you know, it's like the 3D glasses you can put on.
Perceptual shift.
So it's like, wow. And so now it's like I feel young and happy, and as soon as I finish a painting, I start another one.
When was the lowest point in your journey as an artist?
I lived at the Brew House, which is a old brewery down by the Free Bridge, Cordova Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, it was, and still is, I'm pretty sure, heavily trafficked, people coming and going from Mexico, and a lot of drugs, a lot of crime. You know, it was kind of a not safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And some people moved in who were in the drug business and kind of made friends with me and then, you know, started coming into my house. And before I knew it, I was doing what they were doing. And one night, it got really crazy, like in a year, you know, to where I was only living on like powdered milk and bananas because I spent everything on... candy.
Oh, okay. That qualifies as a low point. That'll do it. Yeah.
I realized that it was madness, and I heard this voice in my head say, Steve, we're going to die. And I just dropped everything, drove to my friend's house, and said, I want to go to rehab. And that night he took me over there, and they took me in. And 35 days later, it was the start of where I'm at now, which
is
recovery.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Lucky. We're all lucky to have you after 35 days of pulling up.
The reason I wanted to talk to you was because people are like I was, and they live their lives trying to do the right thing or play the game, and it never works out that way because the system is rigged. The only chance you have is to follow your heart, you know, to do what you love, because when you stop looking with your eyes and start looking with your heart, it just takes you right where you need to go.
If I looked at your artwork from, let's say, your New York City period to your early El Paso period to this Dark Night of the Soul period to where you are now, am I, as just a viewer of your art, going to perceive the journey?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
You would think, I mean, if you put my paintings in one big giant room, mm-hmm. the ones I have or that are still available, it would look like four or five different artists
mm-hmm.
because I was searching, and your ideas really transform your actions. And I didn't want to admit that I had made some bad choices or gone down the wrong road, but now I can see it looking back that there was only one choice, and that was this, which is just to let go and flow. And now it's like, I need a break.
Well, thank God for that little voice in your head, because
yeah.
that did pull you up and
save
you for us.
That's so my friend good. Tony.
And how long have you talked to Tony? No.
Oh, there's more. Well, he's got friends. There's more of us in there than that. But that's another interview.
As an artist, you are not alone in that regard. Well, you have exhibited in Texas, New Mexico, Washington, D.C., what is Mexico, of course, New York City, plus Frankfurt, Germany, Copenhagen, Denmark. And we will be having the pleasure of another show opening on Thursday, November the 3rd. That's just around the corner. That's a 6 p.m. opening at the Art Avenue Gallery, 1618 Texas Avenue, Suite A. Folks can check out your artwork at stevehastingsart.com. And real quickly, tell us, how do you spend your days now, split between which cities mainly?
I'm pretty much here. My daughter lives here, and I take trips. You know, I went up to see my brother in New Jersey, who's a photographer, and I go to Austin, and I like to travel.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes you appreciate coming back. So I do that as much as I can afford, which isn't very much. I've even taken old paintings from that dark period and mm-hmm. painted over them. So I didn't want to lose that
yeah.
painting. And now I have, like, you can see there's a painting under it, and, you know, it's just this new thing.
Rehabbed the artwork, too.
Yeah, I'm resurrecting it, too, because it's part of me that I need to remember.
Well, I look forward to seeing your work on November the 3rd, and thank you so much for coming in, and I appreciate your candidness in telling your story. It's a beautiful one. My guest today, Steve Hastings, painter, who will be exhibiting on Thursday, November the 3rd, is the opening of his exhibition at the Art Avenue Gallery. Visit stevehastingsart.com.